Now, let's give thanks for a moment. Let's everybody stand up for just a moment. Been a great day in the Lord. Stand up for just a moment. I promise you I'm going to let you sit a long time. So go ahead and stand up just a second. Listen. I want you to embrace this reality. There is a God that can do immeasurably more in your life than you imagine right now. Just let that sink in for a second, okay? Some of us come today, we know God, we love God, He's been on our mind this week. Others of us, you know, we're wondering if God's for real. Welcome. I think that's a great question to ask. Is God for real? Others of us, we follow God, but man, we grow tiresome in following God. Any of y'all ever been there? Well, we're all here today. But I want to tell you something, and I want you to hear this. I think once you get to the desire of God's heart, then you know how to follow Him. God desires that we would all be near, no matter who we are. God desires that we'd be near, and we're going to dwell with that. So listen, today, if you don't know His grace, He wants you to know it. He excludes no one. So embrace who He is. Now let's pray and let God speak. Let this be a miracle moment in your life today. Lord, thank You for all the beautiful people that You've brought here today. You have excluded no one. No sin is too great that Your mercy can't touch here today. No person is exiled because of how they were born, or where they were born, or who they were born to. So Lord, for just a moment, if You could help us take our minds off of our many separations and see Your grace, Your precious grace, we would appreciate it. So Holy Spirit, I pray now that You will raise men and women who will stand, and You will show us the truth, and we would be open to it in this divine moment, Your moment, Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now you may be seated. There is a God that desires you to be near. God wants you. Boy, that sounds simple, doesn't it? God wants you. At Hillview, I want you to know, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, because I want you to know, we're going to be distinctly different than some of the other churches now in our county. Distinctly different, even more different than we have been. I believe God wants to save people. And I also believe this, and you better listen. Because now I go to war on this. No other human being has the ability to determine salvation. Amen. That is heresy. You know what I mean by heresy? Really bad, wrong stuff. When another human being tries to determine if another human being can be saved. Now at Hillview, here's what we're after. We're not worried about who is not saved, because we're going to strive every day, and we're going to pray every day, and we're going to sing every day, and we're going to preach, and we're going to do whatever we can to let you know God wants to save you. That's our mission. We want you to hear the heart of God. God desires that you be in heaven. So we really are focused on that desire. So I don't spend a lot of my time wondering who's not going to be in heaven, because I already know who's not going to be in heaven. Who's not going to be in heaven are people who refuse Jesus. Is that clear enough? So if you refuse Jesus, the consequence is separation from God. If you receive Jesus, the consequence is the promise from God. Is it clear enough? Now, here's what I want you to know again. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul's going to give us a little illustration. Your birthplace, your birth situation will not provide salvation. Christ is the provider of salvation. Now, Paul says there are some who delight in their birth. They believe it is by circumcision that exposed covenant with God that salvation comes. But you know what? That leaves all of us Gentiles out, doesn't it? Circumcision was a covenant mark given to Abraham to show that the Jews were God's chosen people. Now, I want you to know, okay, now listen, you don't need to fret, okay? Most of us are Gentiles here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. God chose the Jews. Y'all want to know why? Because he can choose who he wants to. And he didn't choose the Gentiles, he chose the Jews. But I want you to know, God chose the Jews. I think if you read just a little bit of Jewish history, you will find that in the Jewish culture, they embody everything. They have been in slavery, they have been in exile, they've been in war, they have been dispersed, they've been brought together, and God's promise has not let go of them. Your pastor supports the Jewish people. You know why? Because they are the ones that God brought the promise of Jesus Christ through. I support the Jews. I support Israel. I support Israel. Yeah, y'all thank God that you can support Israel. Now, does Israel always make the right decisions? No. Do you and I always make the right decisions? No. But they're God's chosen people. How many of y'all are glad to know that God's going to hold on to us in spite of the score? Isn't that neat? What did you say? Well, Pastor Harris, the score is 72-0. Yeah, it is. But God has not let go of what he said he would do. And I think we need to remember that in our lives. Sometimes we think there's a point that God can't reach us. I want you to know that I believe with all my heart, mind, soul, and body, there is not a situation that God can't get to. If he is God and he is the God of all things and he is the God of all mercy, he's the God of all situations, then God allows us to have his possibilities through his promise. Does that make sense? Now look what we got to get into. It's about the promise. Let's see what happened. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth are called uncircumcised. Meaning this, you weren't born in this covenant. Now, this just blows white middle class folks away. They just have an absolute come apart. And they try to get the Bible to read like it's red, white, and blue. The Bible is not red, white, and blue. The Bible is about, the first part of it is about God's chosen people. The Jews. The covenant people of God. Now watch, what's that telling us? Formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth, your birth did not commission you into covenant. Your birth doesn't excite God. Why? If you really look, we're born into sin. Thank you, Tyler. So you're born, we covered this a few weeks ago, this makes everybody nervous, alienated, and separated from God. Now, this just crawls on my intellectual friends. Well, Pastor Harris, what about the inherent good in humanity? What about it? I haven't found it. I think we pretend to have it. See, I think we got the Brady Bunch confused with the gospel. I think we got Goodnight John Boy confused with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is this. You and I have a mark of sin, but God in Jesus Christ holds the eraser. That God cancels out sin so promise can be brought in. Does that make sense? You see how that works? God cancels sin so promise can begin. Can you remember it like that? God cancels what? So the promise can what? Some of you are going, man, this sounds like a good deal, man. I hook up with the promise. I can do anything I want to do. Tyler's back. And the Holy Spirit uses Tyler. You know why that's wrong? Because hold on. I'm in the promise. And the promise changes our desires. Isn't that cool? One thing I hope you all will desire is that your life would be used to show other lives the promise. And I see you doing that all the time. Hillview, I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. Now listen, every Sunday, am I going to encourage you to tell others about Jesus? Absolutely. Yes. And if you don't like a church that's after every lost soul in the world, this ain't your place. And I'm going to show you today how committed I am to that and why I'm committed to that and why this church is built on that. So I'm going to help y'all understand something. The blood of Jesus is the discipling instrument. Not the Bible. It's the blood. The Bible has no power without the blood. See, we got all these Christians running around going, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Yeah, the only reason the Bible's, guess why I believe the Bible? Jesus is in it. It doesn't say at the name of Holy Scripture we will fall on our knees. It says at the name of Jesus, we will fall on our knees and we will worship Him. And every tongue will confess that He is Lord. You all understand how powerful that is? Bill Moore will confess He is Lord. That'll be a shocking reality for Bill. To discover that God didn't care what he thought. But many of us will be likewise shocked that God was not concerned about our deep intellect, but was deeply committed unto death that we be connected to his eternal promise. Once again, I remind us of this, because probably we need to be reminded, we don't impress God, we follow him. Instead of us wanting to impress God, we ought to do what we just sang and delight in Him. God's in charge. He's the one that gives the promise. His desire is that we would be near. Let that sink in for a minute. That my life, your life, our lives together every day become a heartbeat of God's passionate promise. And really, you know what we become? We become little beacons going, beep, beep. God is what? Real. Jesus is forever. The promise is true. Do you realize you are evidence of God's promise? You are. Because He has put His promise in you. Is this not fantastic? Now listen, the more you begin to understand this, you'll begin to understand your crazy pastor for a minute. See, some people get real offended that I don't do a lot of human service. You know why? I can be good to you and you can go to hell. You can go, oh, that Brother Steve, he's really cool. He's always there for me. Did you ever hear that, Pastor Mike? When you hear, he's always there for me. Guess what that means? Nothing. Nothing. Zilch. You stand before the God, judgment of God and you call my name, you in a hell of a lot of trouble. Because my name doesn't have any power. Your name doesn't have any power. Our reality is limited. But oh, when you stand before Him and say, in the name of Jesus, I have believed by the blood of Jesus, I stand before you. Because what He says when you use that name, come on in, my good and faithful servant. Come what? Near to me. How many of y'all glad to know we got a God who wants to be near? He wants you to be near. Watch this. I feel the tension of this message because I feel the false teaching in this county. I'll call it. Don't you ever listen to a man or a woman that tells you they know who's saved and who isn't saved. In fact, you run because there's a rattler on their tail. I don't care how polite they are. I don't care how many Bible studies they've been to. I don't care how many cuss words they've not said. And when you go, well, you know, Pastor Harris says no human can judge another human going, they'll go, well, I'll tell you what, I've heard Pastor Harris say a cuss word. That would be true. And you bring that stuff across me, you might hear me say another one. because I'm that passionately committed that that won't save you. Now, guys, when people start challenging the essence of salvation, we got to stand up. You know, if some people like contemporary music and some people like traditional music, I don't even get in that fight. I could care less. But you better know how to be saved. And you better know that no man can save you. No woman can save you. No theory can save you. No seminary can save you. And no group can save you. There is only one that can save you. His name is? And by birth, you don't get there. By circumcision, you don't get there. See, that's what Paul was saying. He said, you got some people walking around. Well, we're of the circumcised. We're Jews. We're of God's promise. And Paul's saying, that's not going to be enough. And how does Paul know? Because he's circumcised. Paul is a Jew. Paul is a Jew of Jews. Paul is not only a Jew, he's a Pharisaical Jew. That means his robe has been polished. But Bobby, it wasn't enough. See, if knowing Scripture was enough, then Paul's conversion is a sham. Young people, you listening to me? Paul was brilliant. Paul knew his doctrine. Paul had his Jewish systems down. Paul was doctrinally oriented. Paul was very smart, very impressive, very rich. But he had to be saved. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful with people who can reduce God to a few letters. He is beyond us. And his promise is permanent. Look at the power here. Check this out. Check this out. Check this out. Therefore, remember that formerly, which I used to be, not what I am. Formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth are called what? Uncircumcised. You know what that meant? Not a part of the promise. Well, don't let that get, how many of y'all get mad when I just go, well, you weren't part of the promise by birth. Well, who said? God. Oh, why did God choose the Jews? Anybody know? Because he's God. He chooses who he wants to. He chose the Jews. That's who he chose. Through the Jews, who comes through the Jews? Jesus! So it's important. You got to understand where he came from. He came from the Jews. He said, what are the Jews like? They are battered, they're beaten, they're busted. Go read the Old Testament. They've been through everything you and I've been through 5 times. And for somehow or another, they keep on going. Why? Because they're better people? No. They believe the covenant. Now, what happens when you and I believe the covenant? There'll always be a remnant. Okay, I want to quit hearing about how America is falling apart. I want to quit hearing all that. Let's start hearing about how God's people are going to stand up and hold it together. Where's that crowd? Where's that voice? I hadn't heard that voice. And guess what? That voice doesn't need to be on Fox. It don't need to be on CNN. Doesn't need to be on MSNBC. It doesn't need to be on public network. It doesn't need to be on TBN. It needs to be your voice of promise in the world today. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about today's times. Y'all going, well, the world's going to hell. That's not a surprise to me. Guess what happens? If you're going to stay away from the promise of God, things will go to hell. Somebody write that down. If I'm going to continue to resist God's desires in my life, I will find hell. Hello? Hello? Has anybody found that to be true? You walk away from what God wants in your life, what do you find? Somebody tell me. Yeah. How many of y'all have ever dated hell? Why? Why did you date hell? Because you resisted what God said. I don't know about y'all. I never have a hard time knowing what God has said. Because God loves me so much. You know how he talks to me? He goes, no! You know what I do? Well, I'm trying to discern the will of God in my life. And guess what the Holy Spirit's doing? No. And then he gives me a whole Bible. It's got 66 books in there. And guess what, Larry? He tells me what to do and what not to do. And God wrote it in real simple, like sixth grade level, so even people like me could get it. He didn't put a lot of big words in it. Like the Ten Commandments, he didn't use big words. He went, do not. That's so people like me could go, huh, all right. Don't steal, all right. Don't kill nobody, all right. Don't be looking at another man's wife, even if she's real good looking. And if you peek, don't stare. All right. We know these things. We got to follow in the promise, God. Y'all know what I'm telling you. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. So y'all get so, I love to watch y'all's faces and y'all go, oh my gosh, he knows we do that. Yeah. Because Elizabeth does these things. I watch her at the house. I called her one time at the Titans game. She wasn't playing it. She wasn't paying attention to football. She took a picture of Jeff Fisher. Got back home. I'm looking at the camera. I'm going, that's Jeff Fisher. I looked over at Elizabeth. I said, this your camera. I said, now you'd be upset if I took a picture of one of them Titans cheerleaders saying I just wanted to pray for her in the name of Jesus. Hello? We all got struggles. Amen. It was Clacy's, honey. It was Clacy's. It was Clacy's. You looked at it, though. That's what I'm saying. Look at here. Look at here. We all do things. Amen. Now watch, here's what I want you to know. By birth, we don't get there. By birth, we don't get there. Because, look, that done in the body by the hands of man. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ. Excluded from citizenship in Israel. How many of y'all realize we got citizenship in Israel in Jesus? Oh, wow, yeah. Hmm? Said there's going to be a new Jerusalem. Didn't say there's going to be a new Bowling Green. Didn't say there's going to be a new L.A., thank God, or a new New York. Y'all notice how none of the major cities are mentioned in the Bible? Think about this for a minute. This just occurred to me. None of the major cities are mentioned in the Bible. I wonder why. Just take a shot at it. I mean, it's not wrong or right. You don't get an F in worship today. And what? What do you think? Why not? You ready for this? They don't last long enough to be mentioned. L.A. may set the fashion trends, but it'll only be a trend. New York may for the moment be the economic capital of the world. But we've already seen towers can come down pretty quick. In less than 60 minutes, that was king, came crumbling down. But there is a city mentioned, Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting? L.A.'s not mentioned. New York's not mentioned. Detroit's not mentioned. Tokyo's not mentioned. London's not mentioned. Sydney, Australia's not mentioned. Hawaii's not mentioned. Bowling Green, it's not mentioned. Brownsville, not even located. I'm just kidding. People don't know where Bowling Green is either. Because when I'm on the plane, they'll go, where are you from? I said, Bowling Green, Kentucky. So you got to say it like Bowling Green, Kentucky. Bowling Green, Kentucky. And they'll go, where is Bowling Green, Kentucky? I don't ever say, well, it's located near Butler County, Brownsville, and Glasgow. These are not identifying marks. What do y'all always say? First of all, I say, have you ever seen a Corvette? And they go, yeah. I said, we make them in Bowling Green. We are the only place in America that makes a Corvette. In fact, we're the only place in the world that produces the Corvette. Then they'll go, really? I said, yeah. They don't have a Corvette in New York, in Bowling Green. Then I say, you ever heard of Nashville, Tennessee? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a country music guy. I say, we're an hour north of there. That's the way I locate us. But watch, how are you going to be located? You will be located by the promise of God in your life. Here's the good news. Garrett, you didn't find God. He knew you in the womb. He saw that hairdo before you created it. And he loved you anyway. That's how powerful God is. Amen? I can pick on Garrett. He's tough. He can take it. He has to work here. Watch this. If you can't be joked around with, get saved. That's one of the things. It's a problem with this world today. We're so serious about each other. Yeah. I saw y'all perking up when I said Jew. They are Jews. Me? I'm a mutt. Yeah. I ain't pure or nothing. Who knows how many different ethnic groups I got in one human body. Don't the rest of y'all be looking at me either. Because some of y'all are right there with me. Yeah. I got these people go, I'm pure American. I said, you know what that means? You're a pure mutt. Because we got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's not by birth. It's by promise. So don't get so proud of your birth. Watch this. If I say, I'm born to Reginald Ayers. He's a cool guy. Came out of West Virginia. He loves the Lord. His grandmama loved the Lord. He knows the promise. Guess what? My birth does not decide my location. God's birth does. See, because once I was far away, you got to look at this. Paul's got it down. He said, I was without hope and without God in the world. You want to lose hope real quick? Get without God. I know we're big on hope. How's your hope going? Without God, we will be what? Hopeless. I'm going to tell you the truth. If Elizabeth trusts in me, do you have hope, honey? Did y'all notice? Here, stand up so they can see how quick that was. There wasn't even a delayed reaction. She didn't even go like this. She went. She asked me if I have hope in you. I do for a little while. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Our hope's not enough. I'm not busting on hope and change other than this. It's impossible with us. We don't have enough to get that. Have you noticed the more we try to make poor people not poor, the more poor people there are? Why? I mean, this is a fact. I'm giving you a fact. The more we try to solve poverty. Now, note how I'm saying this, Chase. The more what? We try to solve a sinful condition. What do we do? Create more. But what if we share God? What if there's new life? What if there's new promise? What if there's new reality? That changes people's life circumstances. I'm just telling you the truth. So church, listen, we got to own to our responsibility. Don't run around and expect all the politicians to solve what God called us to take care of. Feed the hungry. Who did he do that to? People of God. Mm-hmm. He even showed us that we could have a couple of loaves and some fish and blow people away with it. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that kind of faith. If we did, pew, can you imagine going out of the parking lot? You imagine going out of the parking lot and say, man, I got 5,000 people wanting to hear me preach today. It's about lunchtime. Somebody throw me a couple of fish. Ms. Grissom's fish sticks. And you get two of those and you get a couple of loaves, you know, a couple of sesame seed buns and you feed everybody with that. You believe that could happen today? I do too. Virginia, what do you think would happen if we had like two Miss Grissom fish sticks and a couple sesame seed buns and it fed everybody at church today? I mean, what do you think people would be talking about? It's the craziest thing I ever seen in my life, man. I went to this church and this big old preacher stood up and he asked God's blessing on two Mrs. Grissom fish sticks and some sesame seed buns and everybody ate. How did that happen? He's God of the promise. And see, I want to thank you guys. Listen, you know why I love coming to church here? I see God do something. I don't need any more theoretical God. I've had enough of a theoretical God shoved in my head to last me five lifetimes. I have been taught by some of the best theoretical teachers that have ever walked the face of the earth. I'm ready to be taught by one who walks on water and can make Ms. Grisham's feed the multitude. Good news, that's the one that made the promise. Without hope, we were. Mm-hmm. And without God in the world. But now, I want you to hear that. But now in Christ Jesus, You who were once far away have been brought near. Did you hear what the Lord just said? You who were once what? Have been brought what? Near. Look at your neighbor and go, near. Come on, do it. Near. Come on. Near. Y'all are scared to talk in church. Luke, they're scared they'll all go Pentecostal if they say one thing during service. Wouldn't hurt some of y'all to get a little Pentecostal in you. Ooh, move a little, you know. Near. We've been brought near. We've been brought together. We've been made as one. Now here's where it's all healed. It is healed when you come in Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church, one Lord. So here's what I'll challenge you to, because I love you. We are one in Christ. Every church in this town that preaches Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected, the only way to heaven, those are our brothers. If there is a church preaching anything else, pray that they will receive the truth. Okay, anytime you go to church and they got a plan B for salvation, run. Run. And you go, Pastor Steve, you don't understand, but they're really cool. They make me feel good. They said if I had a tingle, then God was with me. You give me a couple cans, I can give you a tingle. But it won't bring you near. A tingle won't bring you near. Your emotions won't change your situation. It takes the truth of God's promise, and here's the truth. Jesus said, I'm Lord of lords. Look. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. The power of discipleship and growth, for those of you that have been around the church a long time, is not in knowledge. It is in blood. In the blood of Jesus, we all come together. Sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? What do you mean blood? A promise in blood is forever. God wants to bring you near today. Will you come? Will you come? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned and I need you in my life. If you're following Jesus, how many of y'all need to say, dear God, I need to promote the promise. I need to promote the what? Promise. Don't leave anybody out. So are y'all with me? I'm radically convinced that anybody can be saved. Are you okay with that? If you disagree with that, you probably just need to find another church, because we're never going to agree. We're never going to agree. I believe any human being can be saved. And if you don't believe that, you're just wrong. I'm that bold about it. How dare you as a human being believe you can study a few little books and determine somebody's salvation? Shame on you. God, how dangerous. That's dangerous. Jesus is the beginning and the end. I would be very careful of listening to anybody else that hadn't made it that long. All other humans, we're for a moment. God's forever. Amen. I listen to Elizabeth. I try to. But she ain't going to be forever, and I'm not going to be forever. Our children are not going to be forever. You and I aren't going to be forever. But let me tell you what's going to be forever. The promise of God is forever. So, Chad, you better listen to who? Jesus. Because he wants to bring people that are far near. That's what it says in this holy book. What do you think? So if you're far out today, how many of y'all are far out? Huh? Come on. How many of y'all have ever looked at some people and go, man, they're out there? How many of y'all have ever used that term? They're out there. Come on. And you say it with your eyes slanted. They're out there. You know what that means? Christians, when they say that, well, they've kind of, I hear this a lot, Jerry. They'll go, well, they're out there. What does that mean? They're out there. Well, I know what that means. Dave, you kind of work with people that kind of get addicted to substances. Would you agree with that? If we fall off a wagon or whatever we call it, we say, they've gone what?
Out there.
They're out there. Well, guess what? Our responsibility as those who love Jesus is to leave no one out there. Now, you want to love God like he loves you? Then start caring for those that are out there. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what creed they are. I don't care what political party they are. You'll start loving them when you realize this. Without God, they don't have any hope. Girls, without God, they're done. Young people that are at the university, there's close to 21,000 people on that university. Don't come see me about a mission trip. You're living one every day. So tired of all this Christian-y vacation mission trip stuff. Last time I checked, there's about 1,000 people involved in a campus that involves over 21,000 people. That looks like you hadn't taken care of that mission. After you get that one taken care of, then we'll go to the Bahamas to follow Jesus. You know what we don't like about that mission? It's every day. It's in our face. It's the grind of reality. Yeah. West Kentucky football players, we got one mission in this church. That all 105 of you will leave this place knowing Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If that does not happen to you, you lost. You're without hope. Without hope. You're without promise. My prayer every Sunday is everybody that is far away will be brought what? Near to God. That's what it's about. I don't think I can get in trouble on the day of judgment with that. When God calls me up and said, Ayers, I tell you what, I can't believe you said some of the things you said. I said, Lord, I can't either. He said, the only reason they didn't fire you is because I stood behind you. That I'm aware of, Lord. And I look him in the eyes and I said, dude, Jesus, we believe you died on a cross and you rose from a grave. And we wanted every single human being that got around us to know that you did that for them so that they wouldn't have to live in their sins and die and go to hell. We wanted them to go to heaven. I know that's simple for a lot of you sophisticated people, but it's real. It's so real. It's so real. So I have the privilege of every morning waking up in my life just like you do in your life, thanking God that he'd save an old sinner like me. People often ask me, Mike, a lot of preachers ask me sometimes, they go, how do you get along with all these sinners? I said, I'm just like them without Jesus. I think like them. I'd act like them. I'd get far away real quick. You know what keeps me holy? If I don't stay scooted up under that cross, even under grace, I can get out there pretty quick. How many of y'all can get out there pretty quick if you're not listening? So if you're a believer and a follower, come today and say, God, keep me near. Does that make sense? If I'm believing, then God what, Bobby? Keep me near, preacher. Now, if I'm yet to come, guess what? Then your response is, God, bring me near. So we got two responses at the altar today. Lord, Leonard, what? Keep me near. No, you're good. You've been brought. You got to be kept. Amen. You're that far along, right? You've been brought. Now you got to be what?
Kept.
And then there's some of you that got to be what? Brought. And then you'll be what? Kept. All right. Let's stand together. You ready for invitation time, altar time, response time? It's time. We're going to have some people get saved today. Y'all okay with that? Everybody okay with that? Go ahead and stand up. We'll just release this altar. I don't know what time it is. I don't care what time it is. It's time to get saved. It's always time to get saved. Can y'all dream with me just a second before we come to this altar? Now listen. No more being scared of what the Holy Spirit might do in here. It'll do something beyond you. You that far along? It's okay. Don't be scared of it. You say, well, I'm scared God might make me feel embarrassed. Oh, how painful compared to an old rugged cross that you might be embarrassed. Come and pray. You may look and you say, man, what's got up under Pastor? I don't know. Maybe he's tired of seeing people go to hell. Maybe that could be the leading reason. I pray two things for our congregation. First of all, we believe in the promise of God. And second of all, we'll wake up to the reality of hell. I don't think we believe there is one. Because if we did, we'd start sharing the gospel like we've never shared the gospel before. I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing churches spend millions of dollars and see very few baptisms. And if you think that's holy, you ought to get you a real Bible and read it. You ought to read the real one. The one that's not about you. The one that's about who? Jesus. Because when you find that one, let me tell you why you want the real one. Guess what he says? I love you so much. I love you. I love you so much. I was willing to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and body and go to an old rugged cross and die so that you, Shannon, as you've shown us today, might be buried in Christ and what? Risen.
standing, you're going to heaven. What do you think about that girl? It's awesome. Yeah, from Edmondson County to heaven. Who would have thunk it? From Bowling Green to heaven. Chase, 16 students Wednesday night are going to heaven because the Holy Spirit used your team, your moment, in that moment of time to put 16 people connected to the promise. Now, guess what? That can happen every Wednesday. That can happen every Sunday night. That can happen every moment we meet. Now, it's starting to happen. And guess what a lot of us believers are going to do? Well, I tell you what, I don't know what to do about this because we're out of control. We don't like being out of control. We want a God that we can control. That kind of God is pretty limited. We have a God we can't control. He's going to save who he saves. And he's going to love everybody. All right, you ready? This changes forever. Some of you are going to do it today. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Tell him. I tell him too. Lord, I cheat. I steal. I lust. I've not done what you've asked me to do. God, I'm a criminal. But today, Jesus, I want that promise. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Guess what he'll do? Isn't that crazy? What's your first name? Jerry. Guess what Jesus will say? Jerry, you are forgiven. Guess what that does? Changes everything. Thomas, guess what Jesus has said to you? He hasn't looked at you and said, you're a big boy. He's looked at you and said, you're a promised boy. I'm going to tell you, man, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. I feel some of you going, what is that? Ghost. Boo! God coming up DC, he's going, boo! Boo! Some of y'all going, especially see some of your Baptists going, well, our theology does not permit this. Really? Remember the first time I ever raised my hand in worship? Did I tell y'all that story? It's crazy. It's over in the chapel. Everybody started raising their hands in worship. I grew up a First Baptist high church boy. We kept our emotions hidden because we were dignified before the Lord. And I said, man, I am pastoring the Holy Roly Church. These people got their hands up everywhere. And I was looking around watching them worship. And I couldn't believe they all had their hands up in the Lord. Every once in a while, the Holy Ghost will get beyond your tradition. Why don't you let him do that at this altar today? Ask Jesus to come into your life. Some of you are going to do that today and we're going to rejoice. More than we expect today are going to be saved. Now, believers, I want y'all to start doing something. There's a reason I'm preaching like this today. Y'all ever gotten a spanking? Now, God may only do this to me. This may be unique to me. I have been spanked by the Heavenly Father before. And here's why. Unlike y'all, I'm hard-headed. And God loves me enough. That's why my ears are so little. They used to be this big. Holy Spirit has pulled half of them off. Would you listen to me? Yes, Lord. Hold on. I was sitting there watching the news, Chase. I shouldn't be watching the news. And I'm starting to get riled up. I'm in the truck. And I'm like, Lord? He goes, yeah. I'm way beyond what you're here reported. And he goes, would you quit listening to that? I was like, Lord, it makes me mad. And he goes, I don't care if you're mad. I care that you tell them about my promise. And I asked him just point blank. It's one of those, I said, Lord, you spanked me real good here. You exactly right. I said, Lord, how many people you want saved? He said, I want to save everybody. He said, pray that they'd listen. Have you listened today? Well, let's pray. Lord, those that you will draw today, we already thank you for. Today, Jesus. Today, Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Now listen to God. Lord Jesus, come into my life. If you've never said that, say it to Him. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I believe You died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. I know You're pulling on my heart, and I surrender my life to You. If that doesn't work, this will work. God, help me understand. He will. Jesus, I need to know You for real. He will. If you've never been baptized, let's get that squared up today. And we're going to open this altar up. There are going to be people healed here today, and that's God's business. There are going to be people re-energized here today, and that's God's business. God is going to do a greater work than we can imagine today. This has been a special day because two or more are gathered. Next week will be special too because two or more are gathered. You ready? You can open your eyes. You can open your eyes and pray. Ain't about your eyes closed. It's about God moving through you. You ready? Hey, church. People going to get saved today. They're going to join the promise of eternity. God loves you. So in the name of Jesus, come what? Near. So this Sunday, I get to say this. In the name of Jesus, anyone, whosoever, who will believe, repent, and receive shall be saved. Now those of us that follow, man, we need to make sure we're staying near. God, keep me near to what'll work. This altar is open. People are moving. People are being saved right now. As I speak, people are receiving God. Some of you need to receive healing. Some of you need to have hope in your marriage. Some of you need to know that God's going to work out an impossible situation in your life. Let God loose in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, come on. Come on. Come on. Altar open. Come on, church. Come on. Come on.